All right, we're live.
We're live?
Yeah. We're live with our new host.
With the new host, Miss 5000 Watts. Welcome to the podcast in a more permanent position instead of being a guest. There we go. Got it. Nailed it.
Nailed it.
Not allowed to leave.
Yep. Podcast just got 25% better at PvP.
Yeah. Our RNG just went down significantly, yes. Though.
Yeah.
The RNG went real bad.
When Pope told me that he was going to leave, he said, well, who should we have as, like, my replacement? You were pretty much the first and only choice. And he said, yeah, I can agree with that. That's good. So,
Well, I will never be able to replace Pope, that's for sure.
You won't be able to replace his RNG.
I won't be able to replace him, but hopefully bring good insights to the stuff.
One more thing before we start for everyone else on stream. We were contacted by some people, and it was made abundantly clear that Pope cannot give away his account, so there will be no stream after the podcast tonight. There will be no account giveaway, but this is good. This can still be a good thing because Pope still does want to be involved with gaming in some capacity. He just can't devote time to it really anymore. So if there's ever charity events or something like that, Pope has said, oh, hey, Pope, you're in chat.
Pope's in chat. Let's go.
Pope will be joining us for some charity events in the future. And if anything, we can watch him delete all of his, you know, thousand yard stairs that he has that are all god rolls. So we apologize for kind of leading. We thought we were going to be able to give away that account. We thought that would be really cool, but it would really suck if we turns out that we gave it away and then that person like got banned or something.
I was really hoping to win that account too. I'm really disappointed. I was gonna right? literally teabag every person I saw.
Just got Pope bagged. Let's go.
Rename the account to Pope Bag.
Oh, yeah, that's great.
All right, guys. Well, we have a little bit to talk about this week. So, Iron Banner.
It's good. I don't like Clash. I don't like Clash, but the rewards are excellent now. You're pretty much guaranteed by the end of the week to have at least one character with 335 pants, 335 rocket launcher, 335 auto rifle, and a class item, which is a lot better than it's ever been before when it comes to Iron Banner rewards. And I experienced a little bit of lag, but honestly not as much as before for me. And I played in a full party, and usually it's awful in a full party, but it was actually a lot better in a full party than it has been.
I agree with you, Watts. It feels very rewarding to be there, even if you're not getting the rolls on the weapons that you want. You know, like the roll on that Hakon's hatchet is so good that it's almost impossible to get a better roll on one just dropping. But if you're at a high level and you're getting like 330, 333, 335 drops, you're just infusing every other weapon you have with these high level weapons, and it just makes your time there so well spent. It's just another reason why I really like the loot system right now. It's just Iron Banner is just I'm infusing so many of my primaries right now up to 335. It's just rewarding to be there right now.
Yeah, it's great.
There's a reason to play.
Yeah, there's a definite reason to play Iron Banner. And even if you lose, you still get drops. So it's great. You get, like, after 10 hours or so. No, I didn't play 10 hours. I'm sorry. After 5 hours.
Wow,
thinking multiple streams. I know. That's not very often for me.
Usually you bail out after like the first hour.
Well, usually the lag and the rewards are not worth it. But the rewards this week, absolutely worth it. You get, because of the light level system, you're actually getting improvements for your character. So like you said, Briar, like the infusements, fantastic. In terms of the lag, so I had 3 6-man teams on the Xbox last night. First team, there was only a few Red Bar Warriors that we went up against. You know, people that were just like, nope, you cannot hit me. You shall not hit me with any bullets. I was like, what is this? You know, but I was, for the most part, composed. Second team was pretty similar as well. And it was, again, it was a 6-man team. In fact, I think we had somebody from Britain. It was across the ocean. Somebody was on our team. And we still had relatively decent connections. And then the third team, I had kept getting disconnected, and the connections were god-awful. So it was a spectrum that I experienced. First and second team, decent connections, not too bad. third team, it was like, I am not playing Iron Banner after this. I'm getting salty. I just got a 335 item, and I'm still salty.
I haven't played as much as you guys probably. I've been taking a little bit break from Destiny, but today was my get Suros regime footage day. So I did about 2 hours worth of Iron Banner, and gotta say, rewards on point. During that 2 hours, I got 3 legendaries, and they were all like 333, 335 legendaries. That's awesome to me. But as far as connections go, my 2 hour experience was less than exciting. Every single game I played, there wasn't a single game that didn't have like half the enemy team with the fake green bars taking way late damage registration. I was also playing solo, so I thought that would like help my chances. Still getting paired, like there would be a fire team of people from Brazil, all of them from Brazil, and then they somehow get in our game. And I don't know, just the combination of me also trying to test out Suros regime in all states of it.
It's
hard to do a weapon test when you're having lag like that.
Yeah, it is. But the Iron Banner connection wise, you guys got a way to go on refinement, but loot. You guys have made significant strides in the loot drops.
I saw Heyfitzy say that his data after one day was about 21% drop rate, and he said in the past that he recommended 20-25%. So just off of one day, like, it's looking fantastic. It's worth it. It's 100% worth it.
Because even if you're losing, you're getting Crucible rep too.
Exactly.
So even when I'm losing, I'm like, yeah, I don't care. Gonna get a package. Gonna get a longbow.
Yeah, it's okay. It's like, oh, there's 5 Gokus on there. It's fine.
In that 2 hours, I saw so many people with the longbow sniper rifle. That mm-hmm. was
everyone has god rolls. Yeah. Literally everyone.
Yeah, oh, except for me.
Me too, yeah. Jeff.
Except for everyone I know personally. Yeah. But everyone else.
Wait, Watts, didn't you just put out a video about like you with some new god roll longbow?
I have a longbow. Oh, okay. It doesn't have hidden hand, but it's really good. It has short gaze, quick draw, grenadier, and hot swap. So playing with hot swap, you play with it a little bit differently because you like use your primary and then switch to it to try and take out people, get that bonus accuracy. But it's really nice. I'm having a good time with it. I like it a lot. But I've seen so many people with, like, their short gaze, snapshot, quick draw, ambush as well, last resort, hidden hand. I'm like, how?
Well, if you read chat, everybody's got that role.
Yeah. That's the role they hand out if you're not a streamer or a YouTuber.
Right.
Apparently, there's, like, a method that you can use to kind of get, or apparently there's some method that you can use. I think Sir Demetrius put out a video on this, and I haven't tested it myself. I feel like I should. But if you say,
I heard about this last night.
Yeah, where you before you turn in your package, everyone's like, no, put on your highest light level loot so you get the highest light level gear. Well, you can kind of mess with the system some, and you put on like a year one weapon of, like, say you put on a year one special weapon, and so everything else is really high light level. Then the system will go, oh, he has a really low light level special weapon. Let's give him a special weapon. And then it has like.
It's not true.
I don't think it's true, but I mean, I'm willing to test it out.
I tested last night. Oh, you did? You tested too?
I did. Well, yeah. I picked up one package, so it's not what you
tested.
Yeah,
it's not what I tested.
I will test it more. I will test it more, but I did one package. I equipped an Ephrodite Spear. I went to get my package. I got a God Roll Hawksaw. But no longbow or two to the morgue. But it was like the best Hawksaw.
I got a next big thing. I didn't get a year one, but I got a next big thing. It was a special.
You got a next big
thing. And I equipped an LDR.
You can keep testing it.
I got boots.
You can keep testing.
You got boots?
Year one, when people were saying that, like, I can't remember the exact way you did it, but you had to decrypt 4 blue engrams in a row.
Yeah, and that was some bullshit.
You know, like, wish upon a star and like,
wait, you
cross
don't do
your
that?
Fingers behind your back. And then
I mean, I already do that. Yeah.
I do that.
Play
anytime,
Let
man.
It Go 3 what times back to back.
We talked about this in my stream yesterday too. I mean, like, the Destiny community are the most superstitious when it comes to this, and it's just because in Destiny everything is RNG. So players want to do anything they can to feel like they have control, even just a little bit, over what happens to them. But sadly, no, it's just all random for the most part.
Fitzy, please get on that data. We need you. We need you, Fitzy.
Fitzy, please. Let's tweet him right now.
I will. Everyone.
Fitzy, please.
So I'm curious, Patrick, did you play Iron Banner just today on Thursday?
Yes.
You know, we've had a couple of Iron Banners in a row where it seems like the matchmaking changes halfway through the week. And I played on Tuesday and Wednesday a lot, but I did not play much at all today. So I'm wondering if that matchmaking is like kind of getting adjusted halfway through the week again.
I wonder that too, because yesterday, honestly, it was palatable. You know, there was definitely a few Red Bar Kings and some Gokus, and I was like, wow, I can't believe this. But it was at least, you know, I could get through it. I could stomach it. I do wonder if tonight I start playing and suddenly it is insane. It is every Red Bar possible, you know, coming at me.
I'm really thinking, like, skill-based matchmaking, obviously still in effect, because even when I would, like, leave the queue, after the game, I would leave the queue, and she's like, okay, I'm going to wait a little bit, join back in, I'm still getting, like, the same people overall. Like, I'm recognizing names now, and it's like, if you were lagging beforehand, I recognize your name, and now I'd recognize you again, you're still from Latin, why is this happening?
I think Comcast is trolling you and gave you an IP address that's from Brazil.
They actually, right? No, seriously, they did that. They've done that before. They have done that before. They gave me an IP address that was actually like located somewhere in Bosnia.
Wow.
That's a bummer.
Yeah.
That's really far away.
This
is something. Get your IP address checked, guys.
That happened at my old apartment.
Better be safe than sorry with your IP address.
Why is my Netflix
safety
like, my,
first?
My Netflix on my computer has
practice
nothing
safe
on it.
IP.
Safe IP. Oh my God. Love it.
The Netflix on my computer had nothing on it, but then the one on my phone had like all these. I'm like, I need to tweet Netflix about this, or I need to talk to Netflix. What's going on? They're like, oh, yeah, dude, where are you talking to us from? I'm like, Tennessee? They're like, no, you're talking to us from Bosnia, man. I'm like, what? Excuse me?
What? Sound Bosnian? What? No.
Yeah.
All right, so I know I'm going to ruin, like, eight people's Twitter questions later on, but I want to know, what are you guys using for your loadouts? Go ahead.
Wait, hold on. Before we get into loadouts, I wanted to talk real quick about connections in general, because I did the Necrochasm updated review. And I had to get some footage post April update, and the skill based matchmaking is in full swing. It is ridiculous. Just like you were talking about getting matched up with the same people, like Pure Chill 420 jumped in there. I saw him again. I was like, what the hell? Why is this happening? I leave control. I go to Clash, and then I go back to control again. It's the same people, and they're laggy. And I even tweeted a bunch of it. I was like, is 50 people in the playlist right now? Because that can't be possible that 50
can't
people
be.
Are playing control.
I go to the tower, and every tower I go to is just packed with people. You know, yeah. Like, I think a lot of people are playing since the April update. The April
Absolutely.
Update got people excited. People are playing a ton. So mm-hmm. I don't think it's lack of player base.
It's not fun to just go into casual control, try to get some footage of a weapon that, you know, you don't necessarily main all the time. And it's Doctrine, Maida.
Doctrine, Maida. I actually really enjoy it for my weapon reviews because I quickly learn if this weapon is able to compete against the Maida. It's great.
That's true.
This weapon is horrible.
Yeah, I was like, okay, absolutely true. You know what I learned? You know what I learned about Suro's regime today? It can't compete against Maida in at any range. Even close range Maida will win against Suro's regime. It sure as hell can't compete against long range. Doctrine of Passing absolutely dumps on it from pretty much every range. Hawksaw, all hand. Yes, Suro's no. Just no. The only time Suro's is good is if you're using spinning up and then you have like the last six rounds of spinning up triggered. Like that's the only time that gun is actually competitive.
It's a in which case, fusion rifle.
In which case, it means that you will trade with that shotgun Titan Warrior, who's like, who just skates at you from across the map to shotgun you. Yep.
Oh, yep. Yeah. That's always fun.
It's great.
It was actually funny. We were playing against a bunch of shotgun guys yesterday, and someone requested the song. So I'm just running around trying to avoid shotgun Titans running at me. It was a beautiful moment.
That's awesome. Love it. Also I'll say it, the netcode. There's times it always seems to be like, yeah, drink netcode. It always seems to be like warlocks. Warlocks feel like they have different aim assists for me. Like 9 times out of 10. They like I.
It's those little snipe pea brains of theirs. You know, they're harder to hit.
I snipe a hunter, snipe a titan, no problem. The aim assist locks on. I get some crazy snipe that should never have happened. And then a warlock is like, I repel this aim assist.
Well, titans are running around with that big dark blade helmet. It's like as mm-hmm. wide as their shoulders.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, love it.
Hunters are just running into your sights.
That's true. They are shotgun rushing you a lot. Yeah. I need to, you know, maybe that's why. Yeah.
So what have you guys been using? Like, we've had a couple of trials now. We've got an Iron Banner. What are you kind of settling into?
I'll go first, I guess.
Zen Meteor?
Yeah, that's Zen Meteor. seriously, I've been using Zen Meteor ever since I got it as my weapon in PvP, unless I'm, like, testing out a exotic primary or something. Zen Meteor as my sniper rifle is, it's really good. It's slow, but I don't know. It just works really well. For primaries, I've actually started using hand cannons. Even though they didn't get any buffs to range or anything like that, when I was having a really frustrating time that 1 week, like switching to Hawkmoon just did it for me, and we were able to complete the card. So I said, okay, I'll go in the vault, see what I have. And I've been playing around with some. Then I got a Devil You Know. I got a Devil You Know on Monday. And like it's perfect. It's not a good roll at all, but it has a range boost on it, so it's great.
But you will love it.
We need to know if you got that weapon with a year one primary equipped.
No, I did. No, I had my engram. Like, I'm squeezed the legendary engram. Squeezed
stress.
Yeah,
engram.
I just squeezed the shit out of the stress ball engram, and then opened the package, and it was a Devil You Know.
Wow. I'll try that out.
Try it out. That might be it. I'll definitely try that.
That's great. I didn't use this the whole time when I'm streaming, but like, I got a pretty sick roll on the vanity. It has Icarus and Rifled Barrel. It comes with the grenade recharge perk, so I didn't get Luck in the Chamber. But Icarus on that thing, man, I swear, it's like every time I'm aiming down sights in the air, it hits immediately. Really?
That's fun. I like
headshots.
I like hand cannons with that.
Oh,
is that a one headshot, two body shot kill?
I think so, right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's good. So I started using that a little bit, and it's on the Xbox, which is bad because now I'm going to be like, I'm going to burn some packages, try to get one on PS4 now. But then I reverted back to Doctrine of Passing because as soon as I get killed by a Doctrine, I'm like, well,
you're part of the problem, you're part of the problem.
For me, well, I got a new Hawksaw yesterday, which I'm pretty excited about because it has counterbalance, perfect balance, and then it also has a range perk to it. So it's like the role that everyone was super excited about from the vendor, but now with more range, pretty much. So I've just been finding Hawksaw to be really nice. Hawkmoon I've been really enjoying as well. When I first used it, I was like, it's not as good as I thought it would be, but once you get used to it, it's good. It does a lot of work. So that, along with AS Luna, and then using my longbow and my zombie apocalypse, that's a pretty good roll.
Did you get a good zombie?
I did. It has life support, crowd control, and then it's got like stability perks, small bore, and stuff like that.
I like to think that you equipped a zombie apocalypse year one to get that.
Yeah. I wish I could equip one.
Because I could.
Pope Bear, still alive and well in the podcast. Your lasting effects of your RNG effectively scarred me.
I've been super lucky with weapons that I've been getting. Because I got a really good Lord Highfixer, too. And yeah,
really?
I'm sorry.
I haven't had any luck. I finally got my first year one like return weapon, and it was a 2 to the morgue. I got it yesterday, and it was an absolute garbage roll. It was terrible. But I did get a Soul Stealer's Claw pretty early on from a House of Judgment package, and that thing is a monster. It's like a Doctrine of Passing with more range and a little bit less stability.
Did you get the counterbalance roll?
I can't remember the exact roll I have on it. It's stable enough that I don't have a problem using it in Crucible. Yeah, and but it's got a bigger magazine, so I feel like I could take on multiple encounters without reloading, which is nice.
Nice.
In that range, you can feel that extra range. Wait, it has I like more that than 54? Weapon quite a bit. What's that?
You say it has more than 54 bullets in it?
Yeah, it's got more than the Doctrine. I can't remember the exact number.
It does. It has
more bullets and more range. So it's it is a better Doctrine if you get the right roll.
Yeah, and every roll you can get on that thing is going to be pretty good. But if you get like a perfect roll on it, I think it's gonna dominate.
What do you think? Range and counterbalance.
I want all stability out of it.
Yeah,
I want the exact same roll I'd get out of a Doctrine.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Brace frame.
What's the name of it? I want to actually look up the possible roles for
Soul
it.
Stealers.
Soul Stealers.
I'll just put soul in there because
sounds like an item straight out of Dark Souls.
Wow, there's a lot of items with the word soul in it in the Destiny database.
I've also been using the Hawk Moon a lot, like you guys have, and I'm really enjoying kind of. You know, it's been a long time since I've used hand cannons in PvE or in PvP, and it's just nice to be able to use it again. I have run into. They upped the amount of ammo that is available for hand cannons. I don't feel like they upped it enough. In fact, I feel like I'm running out of ammo for everything these days.
Mm-hmm.
If I take my time with that gun, if I don't just try and rapid fire it like I used to last summer, it kills very quickly and is one of the best counters I've found for Doctrine of Passing.
Which gun is this?
Hawkmoon.
Oh, yeah.
You just got to stay calm. You just got to compose yourself. You really do. You're being sprayed down. It's okay. Just take your time.
You really do. That's exactly right, though, is you have to take your time with those shots and make sure they land.
A lot of times now, it's just easier to use Doctrine than to... I mean, why would you have to try to take your time with your shots when a Doctrine can do it while you bake some food in the other room, too?
Yeah, or get a double kill.
You don't have to really concentrate as much with the weapon. That's the point of auto rifles. It's kind of the point.
Somebody
chat
call it the P90 of Destiny.
You can equip a Doctrine. Like if you have the proper roll Doctrine, counterbalance roll Doctrine, you can equip that, and you're going to have a significantly better time using a lot of other weapons out there. Same thing happened with Suros in year one. You equipped Suros with focus fire, and you were like, I'm doing significantly better with this one particular weapon.
The difference, though, is that the Suros was significantly more powerful than everything
else. Oh, no, It absolutely was.
The Doctrine is powerful. It's easier to use than everything else.
Yeah.
Maybe because it's an auto rifle. You know, that's a conversation we've had. Mm-hmm. But I don't think it's significantly more powerful than everything else.
I agree. Because the Suros had ridiculous aim assist that was happening. You just aimed on somebody, it was like, tick, 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 dead. Tick, 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 dead. And that sound was god awful.
It was really funny going into a Crucible match and all you would hear, tick, 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 tick,
that sound.
I think I commented, in my initial Suros review, I commented on it. Yeah.
The Doctrine, I think, is popular because it is easy to use. It does kill quickly, but I don't think it's the overpowered weapon that the Suros was, or the Thorn was, or the Vex Mythic Last was. I don't think there's necessarily really anything wrong with it. People are going to get annoyed with it because you get killed by it a lot, but that's because, you know, it's a good gun.
It is a good gun. My biggest thing, this is one of the things I was talking about in year one when auto rifles were just absolute king, is since they are so easy to use, or at least Doctrine is very easy to use, and you can just funnel bullets onto something, the flinch that you get with it, and I'm not talking about, you know, with a sniper rifle flinch, I'm talking about just normal primary weapons. When you get flinched by a Doctrine style, it's like it's so difficult to combat that gun, even at ranges where Doctrine is like, wow, that feels like it's past the range that you should be able to use it, but you can still win fights with it due to the flinch and the range on it.
Yeah. That's why I haven't gotten comfortable with the Hawkmoon.
Same.
Nine times out of 10, it's the Doctrine that I'm getting shot out.
Yeah. With Mida, I was still using Mida and having a lot of troubles challenging. I mean, after the high caliber rounds nerf on Mida, I was having a lot of difficulty challenging Doctrine of Passings, but not at not at that medium range where Doctrine of Passing is supposed to be good. At the long range where Mida is supposed to be good, I was still having difficulty doing that. And then that's when I ended up having to switch to Hawkmoon, and you know that was doing better at range. So
at the range, yeah, maybe I think my playstyle has been just getting in there. I need to like hold back if I'm going to use the Hawkmoon.
Speaking of playstyles, you know how last week I said something is like changed about sniper rifles, where it feels like I'm able to hit more no scopes or more in air shots.
Mm-hmm.
I genuinely think something has changed with them, and I've actually been able to. I figured out how to hit actual reliable in air no scopes and or in air sniper rifle shots where it shouldn't, it absolutely should not be possible, but I have it down to where I can hit them about 50% of the time, where I can now, if a shotgun dude's charging me and like I'm in, I have my sniper rifle out, I can now jump up into the air and challenge a shotgun user or, you know.
Well, that sucks.
Yeah.
Teach us.
Yeah.
No, yeah. What's the trick behind it?
It's not about shooting where the reticle is when you aim down sight. It's about shooting where the muzzle is and learning where the muzzle of the gun is actually pointing when you're in the air, because it goes all wonky when you're in the air. And when you're jumping up, the scope will point down really far. It's almost impossible to get a shot like that without just a shit ton of luck. But when you're falling, you can counteract the muzzle, like, then goes back up when you're falling. And if you just drag down while firing, it counteracts it and it makes it so you can pretty reliably hit your shots. In the Suros thing today, I was getting charged by shotgun users and I just did it. Just 1, 2, 3, 4 people. Just shotgun, jump up, snipe them in air, swap to primary, kill them, and then just keep repeating. So I'm thinking it's an actual thing now where you can do it if you just know how to do it.
Yeah, I'll have to try that. Yeah, that sounds interesting.
I'll.
But you're not scoping in. You're relying on.
You have to scope in for it. For no scoping, I found that like when you're at the height of a jump, you basically you have a lot more accuracy than you normally would when you're in either the rising or falling part of your jump. And then no scoping in general when you're just like sitting or when you're just standing still is fairly accurate. So the weekly update or the This Week at Bungie came out today as well. I didn't know.
Which is kind of interesting.
Yeah, there's I mean, this is basically the This Week at Bungie. This one's about Melee.
Has been talked about for a long time.
Ever since they did the skill-based matchmaking ninja patch in December, we've had Melee issues. I want to say it's about since then. Long story short, this Melee fix will not come in with the hot fix coming on this Tuesday. It'll come the following Tuesday.
I thought it was very interesting what they were talking about in there. They were revealing some information about how damage is registered. And it absolutely requires the other person receiving damage to send some packets back through the netcode to for the damage to be applied. And it makes sense then why if a red bar can't send information back up the pipeline, why they won't receive damage.
Yeah, totally. It's like it's a war on two fronts, it seems like. There's a bit of netcode and there's actually a bug in the game as well. So they got to fix both to get this done. And it seems like it's pretty complicated, but I'm really excited about it because shoulder charge is wicked fun, except when you ram it into somebody's face and they don't die.
It's kind of getting moved back a little bit from it.
When you're a blade dancer and you just slice somebody constantly and they're like, nope.
Yeah. Nah.
Nope.
Yeah.
I'm not going to take that.
Yeah. They're like, you forgot I was a god.
Yep.
This is nice. You know, I don't run shoulder charge on my Titan because, you know, it's just so randomly I just don't get a kill and then I'm like just standing there like an idiot taking a knife to the face. You know? Like,
you need Peregrine Greaves, that's what you need.
That's true.
You gotta go all in on the shoulder
all charge. In.
So do you think this will also affect the Sunsinger charge? The solar charge as well? Cause they specifically say that it should make arc blade and shoulder charge much more reliable, but they don't talk about anything else. So, yeah.
I wonder if it's just so delicate that they're like, let's just look at shoulder charge and arc blade, which are the most offensive, you know, or those melees, the one you get punched. See if they can actually fix them with the limited access. Because I'm assuming they can't just crack open the entire code base and pull it apart and then refix it.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, there's band-aids that they have to apply right now because they're working on other things. But I imagine if it does work and successful, then they would apply it over to Warlocks and other parts of the game that need some fixing.
So I wanted to ask you guys, how are you guys liking, one, the Prison of Elders, and then two, like the changes that came to Warlocks? Because they kind of...
Wait, the changes? The changes that came to Warlocks?
The changes to Warlocks? I don't...
Voidwalkers got more fun. It's literally in the patch notes.
Voidwalkers are more fun.
Yeah, it's like Voidwalkers are now more fun. It's in the patch
People
notes.
Are using Voidwalkers in PvE, which never happened. Well, very rarely. Very rarely happened. When it comes to Sunsinger changes, I haven't really noticed them particularly. You get less of a shield. I don't notice that really at all. And the super lasting less time when they use Selphras, don't really notice that too much either.
Not the primary reason people use Selphras anyway.
Exactly. So yeah, in terms of the Sunsinger changes, I haven't really noticed the difference. Prison of Elders, I like it. I like the fact that it's not like a hardcore, super difficult thing. I like that you can just go in with your friend who maybe doesn't really play that much PvE or doesn't play that much in general, and you don't have to spend hours getting it done. You can just go in there, have a good time with your friends, and get rewarded for doing it.
Yeah.
You don't need your hardcore buddies to go into this raid that takes 2 hours, and then you can't finish it, and then you don't get anything out of it. So I like the way Prison of Elders is. I like the scoring system. I think they could do some really cool things with the modifiers. Like, this week is pretty interesting.
I didn't love this week. It felt a little boring to me, having to melee everything. Like, comparatively to last week, going in there and just, like, going on a grenade frenzy with my Voidwalker. That was kind of fun.
You gotta use throwing knives.
I didn't do it on my Hunter yet. I started on my Titan. That's the only one I've done it so far. I like it too, though.
On. Yeah.
Trickle, yeah, yeah.
That's why he's Monte Carlo.
Yeah, good point. I didn't think about that.
Double throwing knives, precision kills, give you your throwing knife back.
Awesome.
Boom.
I like it as well.
100,000 points.
It doesn't need... Every new thing we get doesn't need to be a raid, right? It doesn't need to be, like, as hardcore as hardcore can be.
I want a raid.
I want a new raid, too, but I don't only want raids from Destiny. This new thing, I initially reacted poorly to it. I went into it. It took me 20 minutes to finish the activity. I was like, that's it? That's what we're going to... That's our PvE activity that's going to last us for the summer. But now I've done it over and over again, and I started to enjoy the scoring aspect and the fact that it's light and I can have fun in there. I'm not just like super focused on, you know, like this thing's got to happen, then this thing's going to happen, then all three of us have to move over here, and then, you know, like the Skolas fight or like the, you know, like the raid. It's just kind of fun. We're throwing grenades all over the place. We're laughing. We're making, you know, sexual innuendo jokes. And it's just a good time, you know? It's easier, it's lighter, and it's fun.
The thing that I like most about this week is that in year one, you know, they had different modifiers, and you would kind of, you have to change your loadout for the modifiers. But Gallahorn was the answer to all of it. In year two,
it's Arcburn.
Arcburn. Oh, use Gallahorn. in year two, with this Prison of Elders, you know, the modifiers are significant enough that you want to change your loadout. You're thinking, how can I maximize my points? So the point system is a really great inclusion in there. Yeah, so I'm really happy with it overall. The Warlock changes. The reason I wanted to ask you guys about that is, you know, I'm really excited to play my Warlock. Normally when I play it, I'm like, you know, whatever. But the Voidwalker changes make it a very active class.
And you have to be, like, mindful of how you play, too, with the Voidwalker. Because you're like, okay, my melee is recharging. Let me throw a grenade. Let me make sure that grenade kills the person. So let me get a few shots on them to make sure the grenade kills me. Like, okay, my grenade's down because I suck. Let me melee them, and then I get my grenade back. So you're constantly trying to balance it, and I like that. It's like another layer of playing a Voidwalker.
Yeah, it's fun. Nice. It's a fun build.
In year one, the Voidwalker was my favorite Warlock because... In the Vault of Glass, in the Crota's End raid, there are all these moments where I just needed a ton of DPS, and Bloom was awesome because, you know, you could just explode 200 Thrall and one grenade, and like there's all these opportunities for the Voidwalker to really excel. But in this raid, it never really happens. You know, you never feel like your Voidwalker is that valuable, so you just kind of go with self-res because, well, if I die, I'll rest. Yeah.
Yeah. Safety button.
So part of the Voidwalker problem for me isn't necessarily the Voidwalker class. It's the fact that the content just this time around doesn't feel Voidwalker is a, you don't really need that high DPS class like a Voidwalker. You guys use Titans lately at all? It seems to be the hit registration on the hammers has improved. This is something that chat told me about. You know, I've been yelling about the hammers since they nerfed them. The chat kind of started telling me, hey, the hammers seem like they're better. So I started using them. It's a fun class to run with the sun charge and with the hammers, you know, tossing those hammers around and then you get up close and you really go far with that sun charge. I went right off the map yesterday.
Yep.
I need to try it out. I honestly have not tried the sunbreaker in months. I mean, it's been Striker every now and then. I switched to a bubble. They were bad. Yeah, I had no intention. Also, the Twilight Garrison has just made me really cheat on my hunter so much.
Twilight Garrison bad. Is a fun exotic.
That's like the number one thing that I've heard is the Twilight Garrison made Titans just.
It is so fun.
People are leaving their class for it.
For the past months, it has been, I've been maining a Titan because it is just so fun, especially in PvP, like juking people with it, going around the corner as fast as possible with or backing up Twilight back and then Twilight around the corner.
Yeah.
I'm just like, that is fun.
It's great to get yourself into trouble, and then it's great to get yourself out of trouble, too. You know, like, it's so evasive when you have that on. And
I love it.
You can dart out, you know, shoot, and then, oh, shit, I'm losing, and dart back. Like, all that quick.
I've been seeing a lot of Titans with Twilight Garrison and Universal Remote.
I'm just like, oh, my
God. Ever since the patch, like...
Yeah, just flying around the map.
Flying around.
Garrison around there.
With Juggernaut on. So then, like, you see them, and you're like, tink, tink, tink. Okay, finally that's down. Oh, God, they're starting to get a lot closer. I better get really good and kill them. Oh, God, they're on top of me.
Twilight
closing that gap so quick.
Yeah, I haven't even used a shotgun with it. I need to.
This morning, I was messing around with a fusion rifle that has, what's the perk that helps you out in the air? Airborne or?
Icarus?
Icarus, yeah. I have a fusion rifle with Icarus on it, and I was messing around with that, and that was fun.
With Twilight? Oh, yeah. That would be fun.
Yeah, because Icarus actually, I remember when I tested the Icarus perk, like in year one, it did a pretty significant change for fusion rifles. You could, yeah.
And it got buffed,
yep.
Too.
Yeah. Did you go to like 40% or something? 30% to 40%?
It was a 9% buff. I'm not sure what the initial value was.
Yeah.
It's a good amount.
Was it? Yeah.
It's a significant amount. Yeah.
I'm telling you, that hand cannon that I got with Icarus, the Vanity, like it really, I was surprised both in PvE and in PvP. When I aimed down sights, most of the time they were headshots if I was on the head.
I love Icarus on weapons. I on my Titan because I'm constantly skating around using Twilight Garrison.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's just a fun thing to do, you know.
It'll be good for hunters with the bones.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah,
yeah, oh, yeah, absolutely. Use Icarus too. That's my second favorite class is Bones VO Hunter.
I can't not wear them unless I'm a Blade Dancer because obviously you're blinking around usually. I cannot take them off. I can't jump. I'm so slow. I don't know what to do. I just die repeatedly without bones.
Even Radiant's Dance Machines, when those first appeared, I was all over those things. I love those things.
That's true. Yeah. Mitre Radiance.
Yeah, yeah, me too.
Yeah. Like any movement-based exotic is usually pretty interesting.
Mm-hmm.
There's even more in the database that they had, or never mind, they're not in the database anymore.
No, they're not. Yeah.
They took them out, right?
They took them out. Did we ever talk about that?
I don't know.
Yeah, like long story short, those all those exotics that we were like, hey, these need to like come forward in this patch. Do you guys think they will? And we were all like, some are like, nah, no. Yeah, and those like 9 or 12 exotics, exotic armor, they got removed from the Bungie armory and database. So it's like, you saw...
That either means like, they're never coming.
You saw nothing.
They're either never coming or they're definitely coming by them taking it out.
Yeah, you think?
They're like, oh, let's make them surprise.
Obscurity, yeah.
Yeah, you've never seen these before, right? No, it's completely new. Completely new. Haven't been sitting on them or using them and like taking King trailer footage.
What do you think is the... What movement thing could they give to the Warlock? Because Twilight Garrison for the Titan.
They can
fantastic.
Make your double
knocked
jump
out of the park.
Actually go up. So like the second time you hit your jump button, goes up.
It double says, jump from Hunter?
No, it's a chess piece that gives you a jetpack and says you basically have Hunter jump, or you have Titan jump now. This gives you increased control Titan jump. There you go. Yeah. That has become your jump now, Warlock.
There you go. Now I got it. I got it. It's not going to be a movement. It's not going to be a movement thing. They're going to grant you armor lock from Halo Reach.
Oh, God. I'm glad Pope has already left or else he'd be vomiting right now. Oh,
no. I would never want that. I'm sorry. I even brought that up in the podcast. Apologies.
What ionic else? Blink. They do have ionic blink. That's true.
Yeah, there's ionic blink. There's
they do.
I mean the two exotics that like messed with movement for warlocks that were in the database were give you like it was a better blink, for warlocks. Yeah. So it probably just makes it year one blink or something.
Yeah, was that just an assumption that it was going to be?
We didn't know what it does. It just says it grants like an improved version of blink. So we don't know what that did.
More distance?
Yeah, more distance, shorter cooldown. Maybe you can do it 3 times in a row before you start the current.
3 times in a row would be silly.
Yeah. I mean, well, you could do that in year one if you, if you started with a secondary.
If you timed it properly. Yeah, you swapped weapons. Yeah.
And the other one was it increased your, like, just normal walking speed. Like, increased your normal walking speed and, like, increased turn radius. There's some really weird things. Hmm. Or it was, like, increased the speed. The radius that you turn while sprinting or something like that. Or that might have been the Titan Dune Marchers. Can't remember.
Really?
There was gauntlets that increased, like, it gave all of your weapons quick draw or something like that on the gauntlets.
Oh, yeah. And then I remember those. I was excited about those.
And then it had increased primary weapon reload just across all of them. Yeah.
You know, those talents, though, are probably placeholders. We've seen that happen before where the talents on a... exotic in the database that are completely different than what actually gets released. You want to do some Twitter questions?
Yeah, we can move on to some Twitter questions before we like those. So we can talk about Blue.
Talk about?
Because Blue mics. No doubt you noticed the mics and headphones that we are using, and they're just some of the iconic Blue gear that Blue creates. Look, Watt's there. She doesn't like. Look at that. Represent. She got two of them. She got two of them.
Wait.
Oh, wait. Oh, three of them.
Oh, the third.
Three
of
them. Oh, my God. That's actually kind of crazy.
These Nerf Watts.
I need to ask why you have so many of those. Their Yeti USB mic is the internet's most popular microphone, and their MoFi and Lola headphones deliver insane sound and a personalized fit. Very personalized. Nice and snug. Blue offers everything you need. Completely immerse yourself in the ultimate gameplay experience. Learn more about Blue at bluemic.com. Yes.
And I'm almost ready to start... Asking questions.
you forgot that like you're using screen capture, so you can't like pull the questions up or something. Is that what happened?
No, I've got it. I saved it as a Pages document, and I'm good to go. All right, so this one is from a user I've never heard of, Pope Bear, retired at Pope Bear. If everyone on the podcast was a candy bar, which would they be? You can't pick your own. I think Patrick would be a York peppermint patty because he's cool in the middle.
I do like York peppermint patties, but I think with the amount of salt that I have, I'd prefer, you know, like some nice saltwater taffy or I think like a Charleston Chew would be perfect.
You can't pick your own literally in the question.
You can't pick your own. Oh, shit. I actually had no idea what
that
meant.
Let's pick the most insulting one we can think of.
Edible undies? Jesus, yeah. Those are like chalky as hell if you get low-grade ones. Really bad.
There you go, guys. More tips from
really
Patrick.
Bad candy bars. 20 dangerous candies. I'm
going to go with a Mars bar because I've never had one.
get something that's got like... It's like almonds and... isn't there like a...
Almond Joy.
Yeah, it's like it's got like like fake coconut and almonds and a bunch of stuff. It doesn't have any gluten in it, so Tefty would probably like it. I like how this is the question that we put the most thought into that we've ever gotten. Thank you.
Well, that's a tough
this
question.
This is a what hard kind of candy question. Yeah, that's this like, is really difficult.
I'm thinking that's something like commitment. That is like chocolatey and sweet on the outside, but like filled with rat poison on the inside. To like to know how deadly she is, but she looks good, but she'll kill you.
Oh, like a chocolate coated like ghost pepper or something like that. There you go. They have those. Like a chocolate covered ghost pepper. Ghost pepper. Yeah.
I like it.
That's a thing.
Ghost pepper. That's
great. Looks tasty. Gonna kill you.
That's awesome.
Teffy, I forgot where you were, but it was horrible.
What's that? So the question is, what candy you'd be?
Yeah. Yeah, but you can't pick your own.
You can't pick your own.
Can't pick your own? What do you mean?
You got to pick for everybody else.
You can't say what candy bar you are.
Oh.
You have to pick.
I didn't understand that part of the question, and I started naming what mine was.
Yeah, I was going to say I'm a Reese's because I love Reese's. Which is weird because that means I would eat myself.
That's not a...
But, you know, whatever. It's like Reese's. I love Reese's. Cannibal. I'd cannibalize because I'm Reese's.
Candy cigarette? Oh, good. Because you're really cool? Because you look super cool? Candy cigarette? I like that one. Too. That's a good suggestion.
Candy smoke. If you want some high sugar cancer, candy smokes.
You want to teach your kids how to smoke at an early age. Give them a candy cigarette. Sponsored by Philip Morris.
Philip Morris candy smokes.
Ryer, you're killing every single possible, every possible sponsorship we could get. I was totally talking to the big time tobacco companies.
Nothing like that big tobacco sponsorship.
That big tobacco sponsorship.
Ironically, one of our songs, my donation song, got placed on an anti-smoking commercial, and people have been tweeting me every now and then.
Nice.
It'll pop up, every night. Like, I think Crystal Ball said she saw it during a WWE show.
Nice.
And she was like, that's the donation song. Anti-smoking. It's pretty awesome.
Yeah. I donate good health to you. Keep calm and sim at Simkiewicz. Just saying thank you to Pope Bear for all you've done. And the kind words you've had for my son. Hashtag dads. I just put that one in there, even though it's not a question. Carl L. Smith at Old Legend. What will RNG be called now being as Pope Bear name is no longer part of the community, or is it still Pope RNG?
It's still Pope RNG.
It's still Pope
RNG. Forever. It's forever going to be
Pope RNG.
Yeah, forever.
Forever.
And what's great about it is in the future... In a long time from now, you know, it is a 10-year game, right? In year 8 and 9, when we're still calling it Pope RNG, and you know what that means, you'll be one of the cool kids.
It's the equivalent of the Loot Cave. It's like, were you around for Loot Cave? Tefty wasn't. Tefty ain't a cool kid.
What? I was here for the Loot Cave. That was one of the first videos I ever made for YouTube.
Oh, okay.
I started getting attention.
Of course it was.
Okay.
I was like, oh, my friend told me about this. I should make a video on it. And then, like... Here I am on Planet Destiny Podcast.
It all started with the Loot Cave. John Michael Mueller at JMM. Will your new mystery podcast host have to go through any hazing rituals? I feel like we should have talked about this before the episode.
Damn, why didn't we think of that?
Joe at STF922. So we are a few weeks into the update now. What guns are you guys enjoying in the Crucible? I think we already covered this. I'm sorry, I wrecked your question, Joe. My bad.
I'm trying to think if there's any other ones that we didn't talk about.
Okay.
No, I can't think of any. Shit.
I got a Baron's Ambition. I think that's what it's called.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
That I like quite a bit. It came with Rangefinder and Perfect Balance and I think Life Support.
Yeah.
I think it's pretty badass.
I have a rangefinder, braced frame, aggressive ballistics, counterbalance. Baron's Ambition.
That's nice.
Yeah, it's sexy. It's good.
I like that gun. It's got a lot of ammo, too.
Mm-hmm.
Jonathan Gherkin at Doughboy2448. Does the Crucible balance feel like the best it's ever been? I mean, every weapon type has a viable archetype.
Yeah, I would say so. I would say so. Like, I've never felt... this comfortable using legendary hand cannons and then switching to any kind of auto, even if an auto rifle is not the best, you can still get by using it. And whereas before it's like, okay, no, I'm done. I'm just getting thorn down or I'm just getting ran at with the last word. So I feel like there's definitely more weapons that we can use. Like before it was what? 3 weapons?
Yeah. There were,
and if you used anything else, it was like useless. Mm-hmm. And now we can use so many legendary weapons, we can actually use Plan C and feel comfortable with our primary as well.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, speaking of, like, exotics and all that, this really is kind of the first time for me that I'm just usually walking in the Crucible without an exotic equipped.
Yeah, same.
I have multiple legendary loadouts, so it's like I don't need to have an exotic. I'll usually throw like Sleeper Simulant on as the exotic just in case I feel like picking up heavy and possibly getting a montage.
Yeah, yeah. I was playing a lot last week with Patience and Time. You know, like when's the last time I put that in my loadout? You know, it's fun.
I got so disappointed by that gun when I finally got the year two version of it. It just felt so slow. Everything about it felt so slow.
Yeah, it scopes in super slow.
But
it,
we're so
but
used
it makes
to
you
using
invisible.
Yeah.
I know. It does.
I know.
Invisibility, except for the scope.
Except for the giant glowing red thing.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. That's like an alien off in the distance.
Huh. Kensei 9000 at Kensei 1. Do you think there's a bug with primary ammo drops? I always run out in PvE, especially in the raid.
Okay, I want to talk about this for a little bit. To answer the question, it's multiple parts because we have the special ammo like got reduced as well. So like it feels like special ammo got reduced. Heavy ammo definitely got reduced. You're not picking up as much. So when you get to use those weapons, you're like, oh shit, I don't want to use all the ammo or whatever. Then combine that, you're having to use your primary weapon even more than like you kind of were before. And I think just ammo in general right now feels like it's on the lower end. Do you guys kind of agree with that?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Okay. I was going to make a video on this, but I don't feel like it now. Here's the question I want to ask you guys. Why do for normal primary weapons, so exclude like Vex, Mythoclast, Universal Remote, No Land Beyond. For normal primary weapons, why does ammo exist for them? Why do we have to have reserve ammo?
That's a good question, because it's like an idiom of gaming,
yeah,
that you have ammo that you have to have a reserve in there. Mm-hmm. But you are right, for a game like this,
for a game
space magic bricks that drop on the ground.
I was talking with my clan about it, and Laughing Cheerio, he'd said like, well, the only thing that I can think of is that in year one, when they were designing the game to have elemental primaries, you know, yeah, You would want, you know, someone using an elemental weapon for an elemental burn, and then, you know, you don't want them to only use that. So then you have reserve ammo for that for primaries as well. That doesn't exist anymore because they have said time and time again that the game isn't made for elemental primaries anymore. So I feel like right now we're dealing with so many ammo issues for our primaries with hand cannons and auto rifles right now, because we have these ammo issues with primaries, and I'm just wondering why do we have to have it? Does primary weapon ammo actually belong in a game where primary weapons, you know, they're nowhere near as good as special? There's something you're supposed to use, you know, in almost every encounter.
The only thing I can think of is so that you're not like way off the map somewhere plinking somebody like from way far away. Right, like that's the only thing I can think of. Vault of Glass, they used to like stand on that
ledge, shoot down to the pit,
and everybody would just stand up there with Icebreaker and Scout rifles and just fire down. That's the only thing I could think of, man. And PvE,
it feels like
it works now, it's just annoying because you don't have rockets, you don't have specials, so you have to use primary, and then you run out of primary, and you're just like, well,
yeah, it's ridiculous.
The fun is gone now. Now I'm just mad.
If anything, they could put like a cooldown on when it recharges. You know, so maybe they need to maintain some sort of balance. Like maybe there's a secret balance ingredient that we're not aware of.
If you, do run out of ammo in PvE, you'll come back.
But it's a long time though.
It is. It
takes a little while.
There's like a fail safe that happens where it's like collect up all the ammo in the room or just manifest ammo out of the thin air. But if there was
what it does, it picks up ammo that is like dropped from around the room. Yeah. Like it's like a radius drop rate, so you don't have to go.
Yeah, exactly.
It up if you're out of ammo.
Yeah. So, but usually it has to have all three empty.
Yeah, you have to have all three. Yeah. Yeah. Like I'm not even suggesting infinite ammo. Like just the current system for primary weapons, it feels outdated for the game that we currently play.
Is there a DPS issue? Like, with why?
And that's what I was trying to think of too. Is like, is there a damage issue? Because no primary weapon is able to, you know, get through those damage requirements, except for, you know, the weapons that already have infinite ammo, like Touch of Malice, that technically has infinite ammo in regards to your health. And then there's things like, then there's ridiculous weapons like No Time to Explain that have this amazing ammo regeneration properties in there. But then they also have like an absurd reserve ammo so that you're never going to run out on No Time to Explain. No Time to Explain has something like 500 plus rounds in reserve on a 30 round magazine.
I only ever run into it with hand cannons and auto rifles, really. That's the only time I ever run into it.
And that's why, like, I wanted to talk about it, is it's such a reoccurring problem for these two weapon types, for all archetypes of auto rifles and hand cannons. And why should it even be a problem? You know, you can sure.
Yeah, why did they reduce it? I mean, they reduced it for update 2.0.
Originally, they wanted it was a really dumb nerf, in my opinion. But when they wanted to separate the space of hand cannons and scout rifles, they nerfed the range of hand cannons, and then just saying, okay, that's good, that fixes the main problem. They're like, okay, hand cannons have too much ammo as well. They have too much of a damage potential compared to scout rifles. So then they also further increase the gap by buffing the ammo in scout rifles, and then also reduce the ammo in hand cannons to the point that, you know, that we are currently
the in the range nerf made sense. Taking the ammo away.
Oh, yeah. No, we commented. I don't know, man. Patrick, we commented on it back
I'm in
then.
Agreement with you. I think, why not have just, like, ammo?
Yeah.
It's nice to be able to shoot.
Just have ammo. How about why do we have to solely pick up primary ammo bricks for primary ammo? Like, there's a lot of times where it's like, oh, there's a heavy, there's a special or something, because I'm not using them because my primary runs out so often or something like that. Maybe picking up maybe picking up special and heavy ammo will also give you, you know, primary ammo. That seems like a good solution for right now.
Yeah, I wouldn't want to see him just have like an infinite number there, but ultimately I wouldn't really care as long as you're still reloading the magazine. Like, what really does it matter? You get to keep playing.
The ending point should be that ammo for your primary weapon should never be an issue. And the only times I really ran out of it in PvP were when I was doing really, really well. Because I was, actively using both special and my primary, but then eventually just run out. If you go on like a 25 plus kill streak, oh, woe is me, I went on a 25 kill streak and then I would die. I shouldn't die because I ran out of ammo. I should die because I made a stupid play. Yeah, people in chat are saying, what about Universal Remote and No Time? I specifically stated primary weapons that are only primaries. No Land Beyond, weapons that exist that are technically a special weapon, but they're using the primary. No, they would have to go by the rules of a normal secondary weapon.
Storm at Stormed Body. What is the most broken, overpowered exotic in the new meta with the last word in Might of Nerfs?
Broken, overpowered. Broken. It doesn't exist anymore.
Exactly.
They fixed it.
Yeah, I don't think there is.
Truth. It's a one-hit kill.
Yeah. Nerf the truth. Elenicki at Elenicki26. Being draft day, what are you guys' favorite football teams, and what positions would your guardians play?
Sports.
Sports.
Yeah.
I just like the what positions would your guardians play. So that's I'm going to go. Question. I'm going to go. Titan is a running back. I'm going to go with the Hunter is a wide receiver, and the Warlock is warming the bench.
I know some of these words.
The Warlock is coaching.
Warlock's the towel boy.
I'm gonna say I like my throwing knives, so I quarterback.
Quarterback, there you go.
So I throw knives.
Awesome.
Okay.
Yay.
All right. I thought it was a fun question.
Sure it is for some people that know more about sports than me.
Damien at NAMAD34, what is your guy's favorite subclass to use right now? Greetings from Guam.
Night Stalker. I just love Night Stalkers. With Bones and Shade Step, it's just hilarious just running around from... Rolling and jumping. And Titans run at me and I just jump away with their... running at me with their shotguns. I'm like, no, stop it. Or like when a Warlock's throwing a Firebolt, I'm like, stop it. It's... yeah. Night Stalkers I have a lot of fun with. You just have to get used to using the super. It's not like a instant shutdown thing. You usually want to aim it at the floor and let it kind of... attached to people. But yeah, Night Stalker, ever since I heard that there was going to be a hunter with a bow.
Man, that Twilight mixes well with, I mean, Defender. Every now and then I run Defender, but that Striker class with the, you know, if you do the shoulder charge, Twilight type of speed thing, that feels great. That's honestly, I've been running that a lot. I need to actually switch it up, but I every time I go back to the Twilight Garrison, I'm just like, oh my God, that's so good. Running with the Striker class. Because you could like Twilight, smash, you know? It's really great.
Gunslinger until the day I die. Always Gunslinger.
I've been playing a little bit more Solar Titan lately. That's been fun. Robison 1070 at Robison 1070. SRL demonstrated a PvP mode with PvE enemies. Would a Halo 5 Warzone-esque game mode be suited for Destiny?
Yes.
Absolutely. Yeah, I think it would work pretty well. Yeah.
They could do something like that.
Absolutely.
Let's have it. And of course, sure. We got to have dedicated servers. That would be really cool. Because no way one person could host that on their Xbox and have it keep track of everything.
I'd be happy if they just put two teams of 12 in any map on any...
big team battle?
Yeah, anywhere. And they
two
just
teams
left
of 12,
PvE
anomaly,
enemies
go.
In there and just go. No, I'm talking about like a
Gout.
On a
two teams of 12 on anomomaly taking captains or taking fallen captains.
No, on a patrol Let's level. Go. So if they just dumped like 24 people into a patrol level and just let them fight, that'd be awesome.
That'd be great.
That would be a lot of fun. That'd be a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm. I was saying last night that the dungeon map, they should turn that into a strike instead of a PvP map because I hate that map in PvP.
Big enough,
right? Yeah.
Faction wars, yeah. Faction wars would be super cool. You could have people fighting for each faction.
Yeah.
Yep.
There's a lot that they can do with Destiny.
It's wide open, really.
Yeah, it's completely wide open.
Judge Nemo at Judge Nemo. Yeah, how do we get at Bungie to stop trying to mix in skill-based matchmaking? Twitter riot? I mean, I think the best we could do is keep talking about it and keep saying that we don't like it as Destiny players. Hopefully, eventually, they get that message.
I'm also just really surprised it came back. I mean, it makes me wonder, is it another random bug that jumped in the code? Because are they really thinking, let's put more of it back in?
I don't know. I don't know. Unless they're thinking, we made up this new matchmaking. Let's try it out and see how that goes. But I don't think they're just exclusively thinking, let's put back in skill-based matchmaking the way it was. Because it's been pretty obvious that everyone doesn't like it.
You know, you can feel it happen. Like, halfway through the week in an Iron Banner, you'll feel a change.
Well, that, but also, just regular control as soon as that update dropped. It's like, welcome to the DTR, your level. You know?
Yeah, and I'm hoping, I'm really, really hoping this is, I think I said this last podcast, this is them just going, okay, we're going to have a competitive mode in, like, whatever, Destiny 2, and we're just gonna beta test the shit out of it with our current player base, and then we'll return fully connection-based matchmaking for casual matches, and then you'll be able to just join up in a competitive mode and use whatever this current matchmaking is that we've refined to this very clearly good system. Yeah. Sarcasm at the end there.
Mr. Ares at Hey It's Magic. What special weapon have you guys been using most since the ammo change?
Longbow, because I got a longbow.
Oh, nice.
longbow actually has like a lower ammo stat.
It's a very low ammo stat.
You're only picking up three with it, right?
I pick up four with double sniper. Double perks. Yeah.
Okay.
But you can't hold as much as like a 1,000 yard.
Yeah. Well, in year one, it had a lower ammo stat anyway. But yeah, that's one of the reasons why I like Zen Meteor. It has Field Scout on it, so I could spawn in with 12 rounds and then just not worry about it as much. I'm still only picking up 4, but, you know.
You're spawning in with 12? I'm spawning in with 12 on the 1,000 yard.
I've got a 1,000.
No, you're not.
I think so. People keep telling me that, and I'm like, that's not normal, though.
Yeah,
is it not normal? Because I'm spawning in with a lot of sniper ammo.
You spawn in with 6.
You spawn in with 6.
1,000 yard.
I use double
iron banners. 12, I know for a fact.
I'm not talking about Trials of Osiris.
Iron banner.
Yeah. If you have a piece of armor that has you carry more for special weapons,
like if you're using Armamentarium,
the Armamentarium, or like
I'm using Twilight Garrison.
Twilight Garrison.
There you go. That's how you can get 12 on a 1,000 yard. If you have that where you just hold more special in general, and then you also have like boots that hold more sniper, then that actually stacks and you can have 12. But for normal people, you go
for normal people, us hunters and some warlocks.
Welcome to Twilight Garrison Master Race.
Warlocks should hold more ammo with all the pockets in those robes. I kind of liked the going into a match with no special. I thought it made the first round or two, especially in trials, pretty interesting. Like you really were fighting over that special ammo for the first round for like an advantage moving forward. I liked it. I thought it was cool, and I was sorry to see it go.
Yeah, when we played against teams that didn't cheese it at all, it was really nice because you had different layers to the Trials of Osiris rounds. It was like, okay, this round is going to be all about primaries, and whoever wins the primary gunfights are going to be winning this round. And it was nice to have that extra little bit of strategy to Trials rather than just, we all have snipers, let's sit and try and get a pick and then push it.
My biggest problem with it, though, is that if a team is really good, they kill with primary. Maybe they bleed it out just a little bit. Then they pull special. Then the next round, they're going up special.
Get snowball-y.
We had multiple rounds like that. When it would play it legitimately, we had rounds where we would win because we got special. And then we had rounds where games that we lost because we never got to actually get to a point where we could pick up special. Yeah.
I think for trials, and this might be an unpopular opinion, but I really do think that they need to reset special ammo every single round. So it's primary battle up until 15 or 30 seconds. Then there's the option to go get special ammo and then have a special ammo battle if it goes that far. It would also make things like Universal Remote and No Land Beyond more special.
Mm-hmm. Make Black Hand less annoying to play.
Right. There's less special in 6v6 and all these other game modes. And that's true. That's fine. But when it comes to trials, you pretty much have time to pick up special every single round.
Yeah, you can go, hey, wait. And pick up special.
Exactly, yeah. So that, a less special would be nice.
But you see, that strat then is like, okay, you're doing the play style of you're going to wait and spawn, and you're going to wait for your special ammo. The other people could do that too. They could be like, they're going to wait for special. Let's wait for special. We'll have a special battle. Or if they realize that they're waiting for special, they could be like, let's rush. They're waiting for special and have a primary fight. You know, it just seems like, I really don't, like Briar said, I don't want to go on a Black Shield and just scope a hallway for ridiculous amounts of time.
Yeah,
wait till the countdown happens and then try to fight over the whoever has a super to get the capture point. You know, that was not fun. Yeah.
I also just think Black Shield should be completely removed from the game until they gain enough resources at Bungie to click the delete button on the doors in the map editor.
It's kind of fun for Rift. I don't mind that one for Rift. I think it's pretty fun.
Oh, yeah, because the cap point thing's outside. Yeah, you can go inside or out. The doors actually create an interesting game mechanic on when there's an actual objective to play. Doors can be a useful thing. It's actually amazing. But when the only objective is to survive and kill, oh, shit, doors. Just, they're annoying.
Tyler Rosencutter at Xer Joker. What is the new guy's favorite? That's you. You're the new guy. Favorite ice cream flavor. This is what I'll base my opinion of them on. So this is a big question.
Oh boy. Oh boy.
Intense.
Wait. Okay. So it used to be like cookies and cream, like cookie dough kind of flavor, which is really good. But if you have had tempura green tea ice cream, that is like the It is so good.
That is legit.
That sounds
good. Patrick, it's really good. Go to a sushi place and get it now. Go.
Yep. When I it's before really good. Before I went gluten free, that I loved that ice cream. So good.
It's so good. It's like a taste that you never would expect hearing the name.
Yep.
Wow.
You would never expect it. It
tempura
is so
green tea ice creams. Oh god, this looks horrible. Wait. I think I've actually had this before.
Do you eat sushi?
Ben, yes.
You like
yes.
sushi? Yeah.
No, I've had this before. It's some good stuff. Yeah.
It's delicious.
It's really good.
Yeah, no, it's actually really good.
It's the same thing.
No, when I'm getting ice cream, it's like salted caramel. Oh, wait, we didn't ask our opinions. Never mind.
Yeah.
Well, of course, if you're going to like a grocery store and you're like picking up some ice cream, you're probably not going to be like, let me get
you know what? Actually, green yeah, that's what it should be. If you go to your local, you know, grocery store and you're craving some ice cream, which one do you pick?
Well, then it would be like cookie dough.
Ben and Jerry's
type. Yes.
Ben and Jerry's cookie dough. There we go. All
right.
There you go.
You'll need to get some salted caramel.
We'll find out next week how you did. We'll see what the judges thought. Sebastian Gutierrez at SebGuts10. Which sniper do you think is the best for people still learning how to snipe like pros?
Shadow of Veils.
Shadow of Amethyst. The Calcutta. Save that for a sniper.
If you want a good sniper, there's the Taken quest line. That Taken Earth quest line will give you 1,000-yard stare with a range increase on it, a short gaze scope, and that's all that really matters. And it's got a good enough equip speed and everything on it that you can learn. If you can't, like you did the quest and you deleted it, Defiance of Yasmin is actually a really good one as well. It's still a low zoom scope. Decent enough aim assist. You can mess with the handling speed or the range on it.
And it res snipes now.
And
as
it
well.
Can res snipe now. Defiance of Yasmin is probably one of the better ones that you could pick up.
Jay at MLG Gaming 2015. Do you think Bungie will show a teaser for Destiny 2 at E3? Yes, if that E3 you're talking about is in 2017.
Yeah, I think for this E3, it's going to be about the fall content, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I feel like Destiny will be there.
They're going to be
showing off the fall stuff.
They're showing off like another Zen Meteor. Be like, look at this PlayStation exclusive. So amazing.
PlayStation exclusive rocket launcher. PlayStation gets Gallahorn. You're too.
Oh my god. There you go.
Imagine.
That would be the worst thing ever.
PlayStation exclusive raid. Oh my god.
Oh no.
El Chapo at LX Royal LX. Who was your favorite enemy or boss to use Gjallarhorn against?
Ooh.
Crota.
Crota. That's a good answer, man. That guy was a real son of a bitch.
You know what? My favorite was using it against Atheon. Because I, for the most of Atheon, actually, yeah, all of Atheon, and then most of Crota, I didn't have the Gjallarhorn. So when I got to go back and kill Atheon with the Gjallarhorn, it was like, zoom in, track, explosions. Zoom in, track, explosions. This is great. Love it.
Was there a specific? Did you just say boss, or is it
any boss?
I think it was boss.
Any boss.
Valus to Arik. Fuck you, Rockets McDickface. I got a better rocket launcher than you.
That dude used to have crap. So much health.
Yeah.
It was the only way to deal with him was with the Gjallarhorn.
You had three people with Gjallarhorns, and you just set up on the opposite side. He comes out. He finishes spraying his gun everywhere. You pop a Titan bubble of, like, Blessing of Light, because Weapons of Light didn't really do anything. And everyone just starts throwing volleys of Gjallarhorn rockets at him, and then he just melts. And you're like, yes!
I like using Gjallarhorn in PvP. I like bringing it in now to PvP and just imagining people's faces like, why the fuck is that guy using Gjallarhorn?
No, like Tefty, the exotic rocket launcher could be the equivalent of, it doesn't pick up ammo, but it's like an icebreaker for heavy rocket. No, it's going to be impossible to balance for PvP. I don't care. I'm still rolling with the idea. It doesn't pick up ammo. It regenerates it over time. But you can't actually, like, bring the weapon out to kind of aim it. You kind of have to, like, basically, like, what Valus does, he just kind of does something and then the rockets come out. So, basically, you have to switch to your rocket. You have to, you know, hold down the triangle or whatever that is on Xbox, hold that down, and then you like your weapon goes away real quick, and then you just fires off like a rocket volley.
You slam the ground or something, you know? You're like,
yeah,
and then all of a sudden, poof, 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 poof.
Yeah, there you go. That's what the weapon is. And it doesn't actually, it's like a backpack that always stays on you. That's like a mortar launcher.
Exactly.
There you go. Wouldn't that be awesome? That's what the exotic Perfect. Weapon is. And then, I mean,
they wouldn't be able to make them like ultra deadly. They'd have to make them, you know, balanced in that. Yeah. But still, just the fact that you'd hold triangle or Y and then launch a volley of rockets, wouldn't that be awesome?
Yeah. I want that. I'd love to see is like just the Cabal Gatling gun as a heavy weapon.
Yeah,
I think that'd be real cool, and make it so like you go into third person with it or something too. Like they didn't hate. Like, it feels like Halo, like the Halo.
That would be badass. Thing.
Yes, yeah.
Go into third person, you just start just mowing through people.
Do it. Let's call Deej. I'll dial.
And they have explosive rounds, and they all have it. Everything has explosive rounds.
Broken Overture rounds. Actually nailed it in chat. He had the right answer, and it's Omnigul. Omnigul was the best place to use Scout.
Oh, true. Omnigul.
Yep. Yep.
That is the correct answer.
Poseidon at Poseidon Miller. Team Cap or Team Iron Man?
For me, I'm going to say Team Iron Man. Because Captain... There was a really good video that got posted on Reddit about why Captain America needs to get with the times. Captain America is effectively like a warmonger. He's only happy. He only feels like he can, you know, change stuff through fighting, through you know, active war and shit. And then, you know, and at least Tony Stark, he ain't that way. I'm not a fan of regulation by any means. I don't like the man, but, you know, I also don't think that we should, you know, have, you know, the fucking superheroes running around doing whatever the fuck they please, you know, being all, yeah, I'm gonna kick this guy's ass because that's the only way that it'll solve that. Nah, man. Nah.
I think more problems should be solvable with violence, frankly. I don't know.
Well, Captain America isn't actually Captain America. He's Captain Puerto Rico. he's an imposter. So
an imposter.
Robert Downey Jr. is just cooler.
Yeah, exactly, dude. You would say that True. As the man as a man go. With the goatee True. Too.
There you go. Yeah.
Iron Prime 72 at Iron Prime 72. Favorite type of bread?
Cinnamon raisin.
I thought you're like on some gluten.
There's gluten-free cinnamon raisin. Get it. And it's delicious.
Can I pick the bread from Wendy's specifically?
I like French bread. Nice hot French bread fresh out of the oven.
Baguette.
I don't like the baguettes fresh out of the oven. I like that shit like a day old, so it's nice and like rock hard, and you get the little knuckle that's like right on the end of it, and you just cut that shit off.
Nah, you're like some kind of sadistic masochist, man.
Yeah, get that. Patrick likes it rock hard, guys.
He likes it rock hard.
Day old and rock hard. Yeah.
We're gonna keep with the food theme here. Kieran at Kieran AMK, tacos or enchiladas?
I'll just go first because I'm gluten free. I have to go tacos most of the time. Most enchilada sauce has wheat in it.
Rip. I think I'll go with tacos too.
Yeah, tacos because they're crunchy and that's good.
It depends on how hungry I am. If I'm really hungry, I'm not gonna not want to chew my food as much, so I'm gonna go with the enchiladas. if you know, I'm like, yeah.
Effort to consume is factored in.
Hell yeah, it's not for you guys. No. Nah, so if it's just like I'm at a party or something, it's like, yeah,
number one for me.
No, I mean, that's part of the equation as well. It's about the bigger picture here. You gotta account what state you're in as you're eating. If I am starving, I'm gonna cut my throat and mouth up just like trying to devour these tacos. Unless it's a soft shell taco. In which case, you know, then if it's a soft shell taco, I can have it really any time.
It's a soft shell taco. It's not really a taco.
It's an imposter burrito.
Oh, street tacos? Hold up. The best. Okay, if you're in Los Angeles, Vine Street, just I think it's south of Santa Monica Boulevard, Cactus Taco. Incredibly delicious carne asada soft tacos. They put buttery soft avocado on it every time. Up to like 3 in the morning. They'll sell them at 3 in the morning. It's great. You walk right up.
Have you ever had this during the day when you weren't drunk?
Yes. Absolutely. Both.
I've heard a lot of best restaurants ever stories at 2 o'clock in the morning, and I only went there after the bar.
That is my first place I'm going to hit when I visit Los Angeles every single time.
Piles of Wonder at Piles of Wonder. What was your first memorable video game? I'll go first because I got a chance to think about it because I read the question earlier. Metroid was like the first game on the NES that I really remember playing and really deep diving into. I played Atari at my uncle's house. I played Super Mario, but Metroid was the one that I was like, wow, this is something completely different. And then Zelda shortly thereafter.
I think mine would be Final Fantasy VIII. That was the first game that I just like delved into everything with it. I would spend hours just playing the card game and traveling from city to city to play the people to get their special card. So I spent hours just playing not even the full game. I loved Final Fantasy VIII. That was probably the game that was just like, yes.
Marathon. Because basically every computer that I owned up until like early 2000s was like a hand-me-down from my dad's office. And I got this Apple Macintosh with then whoever had used that computer as their workstation had installed Marathon on it. So, yeah, so I was like, oh, does this thing have any games on it? Oh, this looks like a game. Oh, this is awesome!
The first game that I, like, 100%ed was Super Mario World. I, like, played everything on that. I got every single secret.
We got towards the end. Game.
Yeah, when you got towards the end and did, like, the alternate world, when it turned all brown and stuff, it was, like, mind-blowing. My brain was just like, oh, my God! Video game's incredible. The very, very first one that I remember, I think, was, like, Duck Hunt, you know? My brother and sister had it.
I remember the first time I played Doom and like having like a physical reaction to it. That was pretty intense. Like the first time I moved into 3D space and like had like a flinch reaction to the shit that was coming at my face.
Yes.
That was
pretty cool. My first physical reaction was playing Mortal Kombat in the arcade. I was like, whoa, this is insane. I
just ripped it's so some guy's realistic. Head
off. Yeah.
Them graphics. Yeah. Oh my God.
Johnny Cage.
I remember sucking at Mortal Kombat so hard. I begged my mom to let me go to the arcade to play it, and the only one that had the only Mortal Kombat machine that was like 30 minutes away. So I went to go play it, but I was like a kid and I just lacked any and all comprehension, still do, and could not figure out how to actually, you know, fight the first character on the easiest difficulty. So but I knew how to block, so I just held block for like 3 minutes going, this looks awesome, as my health got slowly whittled down and I died. And then we left. We drove 30 minutes. I got to put one quarter in the machine. I got one quarter in.
One quarter.
And then we had to go home. And
that's
I was
savage.
Like, oh. I know. My mom hated video games. It was brutal.
Right? I have a very fond memory growing up. I was in Rochester, Minnesota at the time. And I think I had saved up, and saved up for me was having like $25, you know, that was me saving up.
That's a lot of money.
Yeah. As a kid, I went to the arcade because my mom brought me into the city to like hang out, and, you know, she was working. She was like, hey, you can go hang out at the arcade. So I spent the whole day at the arcade with $25 and it lasted. And I played Killer Instinct. Oh, my God. Killer Instinct in the arcade was just like, what is this magic?
It's so much better than console.
Yeah, and that it was, right? And then I think it was Mortal Kombat 3 at the time. It was either 2 or 3. I can't remember. It was in the arcade along with Killer Instinct. And that was a very fond memory. I remember walking outside after that gaming stint. My eyes hurt.
I think my favorite game of the arcade was the Simpsons one.
Oh, yes.
With four other people.
Yeah, oh, awesome. Yeah. So good. And Marge and Homer had a special move where like, they would get together and start rolling around the stage. It was so good.
That game was great. I want to play that game again.
What was that? I would Ivan buy that Stewart's, game. Like, off road. You guys remember that one where you had to basically drive around and you had wheels? It was like a 4-player game altogether. No, nothing. Okay, no, never mind. I'm old. Gauntlet, nothing.
Oh, Gauntlet, definitely. I remember Gauntlet. Hell yeah.
All right, that was it for questions. That's all right. I got. I feel like that was a good one to end on, too.
It was a good one to end on. Good one.
Ooh, Ninja Turtles 4-player. You guys remember that in the arcade?
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
dude, there was one.
The same people who made the Simpsons one.
It was so good. It was. Dude, there was one at the Donut Den in Nashville. Oh, fuck.
The Donut Den.
The Donut Den. The donut den.
Tell me more.
I want to know more about the donut den is a goddamn institution in Nashville. It has existed in the same building for eons, I think. I think Nashville was actually built around the donut den.
That is a pretty epic sign.
I know, right? That's not even the whole sign. There's three more donuts that are above it that light up. And so it goes from left to right. It lights up as the donut gets bigger, and the donut letters turn and everything.
Oh, that's cool.
That looks straight out of an indie movie.
That looks awesome.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah. It's a really cool place. But one of my memories was going in there before I would go into like kindergarten, and then you get a donut. My mom had some coffee, and then I would eat my donut while playing the Ninja Turtles video game.
That's the life.
Mm-hmm.
Bring back arcades.
Yeah.
We should make an arcade. Let's go into business and get an arcade. Okay, let's do it.
Got it. Cool. That was the 88th, I think. No, I messed that up. The 68th. There we go. That was the 68th Planet Destiny podcast episode. If you want to, I'm Holton, or Patrick, if you want to find me. I got a Twitter thing at Holtzman_PD, and I also stream on Twitch on the Planet Destiny channel and on my own personal channel. You can find me there.
I'm Briar Rabbit. You can find me on Twitter at TheBriarRabbit, on YouTube at the Briar Rabbit channel, on Twitch just look for Briar Rabbit, or streaming for the Planet Destiny Twitch page.
And I'm Tefty Teft. You can talk to me at Teft on Twitter. You can catch the streams I do for Planet Destiny at the Twitch channel for Planet Destiny, and catch my personal streams as well at twitch.tv/TeftyTeft.
You can find me at Twitter, Miss5000Watts, YouTube, Miss5000Watts, Twitch, also Miss5000Watts, and Instagram if you want to look at cats. I post a lot of cats.
Well, thank you all for tuning in, and we will see you next week. And welcome to our new co-host, Miss5000Watts.